So will that one forever at 3:43 PM? We take a call. You have another interview that you want to play?
Yes, ma'am. We want to change it just a little bit. So our next interview is going to be an interview with Detective Mike Knowles. This is done on March the 16th by Louisville Metro Police Public Integrity Unit. And interviewers are Sergeant Amanda Seeley and Sergeant Jason Mays.
This is receiving the Louisville Metro Police Department's Public Integrity Unit. Today's date is Monday, March the 16th, 2020. The time is 13:09. We are present at 3672 Taylor Boulevard at the Public Integrity Office. This will be recorded statement from Officer Michael Noble. The statement is in reference to PIU case number 20-019. Present with me is Officer Mike. Is it Michael or Mike?
Legal name is Michael.
Noble's with no attorney and Sergeant Jason Banks of the Public Integrity Unit. Officer, are you aware of the statement is being video and audio taped?
Yes.
To speak with your approval.
Yes.
Please say your full name and spell your last name.
Michael Nobles, N-O-B-L-E-S.
What is your code number?
7668.
And where are you currently assigned?
CIA.
And how long have you been with that unit?
Yes. Well, I just merged into CIA from narcotics, so early 2017.
And how long have you been out of the department?
2006, 14 years.
Are you under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or any other intoxicants at this time?
No.
Have you taken any kind of medication that would affect your judgment or your ability to think clearly?
No.
We're here to talk about the incident that occurred on Friday, March 13, 2020. Did you sustain any injuries during this situation?
Just some scrapes on my knees.
Issue. Take photographs of you?
Yes.
Receive medical treatment?
No.
What type of uniform or clothing were you wearing at the time of this incident?
Black t-shirt, gray pants, blue and white shoes, a hat I'm currently wearing, and then a tank vest. The tank vest that was issued to us with the hard plates on.
Is it safe to leave some evidence?
Yes, for him, but.
Tempest with hard plates?
Yes, radio on too far.
Is the police, is it like a Velcro, like, or is it in the vest?
Yes.
You said blue and white shoes, correct, and then the hat you have on now. Do you have the same uniform or clothing on right now?
No.
Except the hat. Because of the statutory requirements of KRS 15.520, I am obligated to advise you that this is a criminal investigation, not an administrative investigation. However, you are not the subject of this investigation. Knowing this, are you still willing to give us a statement at this time?
Yes.
So we're here for the incident that occurred with the officer involved shooting on Friday, March 13th at 3003 Springfield Drive, apartment number 4. Your involvement in this incident?
Yes. Starting on the day we were asked by Sergeant Meaning to assist with several warrants. The new unit, place-based investigations unit. They needed assistance. Whoever signed up for it got it. Several CID detectives. Now, when we got to the CID office, that's where we learned where we were going to be at. And on the board, they had myself and other detectives on the 3003 Springfield warrant. Sergeant Manley, myself, Tony James, Mike Campbell, which he was the eye. Miles Cosgrove, Brett Hankinson, and Lieutenant Sean
So did you all meet, like, Thursday?
We briefed at the office around 11, Thursday night, and then we met, we all rendezvoused behind the church. I'm not sure what church it was, we met back there, EMS was staged. I mean, it was off Manslay. Next one we have St. James Church of Rosa. We all met back there, and we were told not to go to Springfield until SWAT began an approach on Lieutenant Farmer Black Bandit. So I think it was around 12:15 we got the call that SWAT was in the area, and that's when we started moving. We all drove separate up there. I think there's only 5 cars. Maybe somebody might have chipped in somebody. Myself, Sergeant Allen drove himself. Brett had things alone, Miles was alone. And we just caravaned in Springfield, followed Sergeant Miles Lee, car going in. And we all stopped short of the target house. I was the Ram. I was the last Ram if they didn't answer the door. Tactically approached the apartment from the sidewalk. Once we got down to the door, I knocked several times, announced the police. I was on the, if you're looking at the door, I was to the right of it, closest to the door handle, just in case they had to reach it. John was on the opposite side, so we were both knocking it. We knocked so much that the neighbor came out and told us we were in, leave the girl alone or something. But I was too busy trying to get the attention because I could hear somebody inside.
What's there?
Somebody upstairs.
Oh, upstairs is working directly above them?
Yeah. I never even took my eyes off this door. I just know that whoever, I think Sean made contact with him and said, please go back inside. And he didn't. I guess he ended up going back inside. Once they quit contact with him, because it was a good, I would say 1 or 2 minutes of me knocking on the door saying please, and I could hear somebody inside. I kept telling her, I could hear her. And we knew who the target was. And we were told that it should be a problem. It was supposed to be her and her kid, maybe her and a small child there. So that's why we decided to not. It was a no-knock warrant, but we wanted to give time just. We've done this before with little kids. And, you can hear a movement, but there's no answer. So John and I decided, let's go ahead and hit it. John hit the door, announced police several times. The first hit, I hit the door handle. The second hit, I jarred the door partially open. It was still connected to the frame. The third hit, I knocked it completely off the frame. As soon as I hit the door, went across the threshold, and I couldn't see him, it was pitch black.
You did?
I hit the door, I went
in. Okay, so then your inertia kind of brought you in?
Yeah, so the door went. So when I went in, it was pitch black, but when you're at the ramp, you get out of the way, so I hit it, and then I shot back out over this wall, and they said, I must have jumped it over. I didn't hear anything, I just looked, and he yelled, he screamed, and he just looked at me, and I shot. He was a shot or something, and he went down, and I could see blood immediately just coming out of his leg. And then I think he took a couple more shots, but he was aiming something in the door, and he took a couple more shots inside, trying to get out there. There was a staircase that was coming down, and I had to ram because it had so. I mean, immediately when that door opened, the shot came out. Like, as soon as I got away, I was like, he got hit. And I've been there before, so it was like I was stuck in mud. I turned around and tried to take off, and there was a satellite right there on the bottom underneath the steps. And I was trying to get away because all I heard was gunfire. I had no idea if it was coming. I don't know who was shooting. I thought somebody was inside just letting it out through the door, and I kind of didn't want to turn around and see everybody get shot because they were just stuck in a corner. There was no exit for them. And when I turned, I was on my knees, and Sequoia. We drove him around the side, and I'd taken his radio or somebody's radio. I had two radios in my hand. One was on SWAT, one that we had put on channel two. I don't know what channel I was on. I was just trying to get somebody's attention and see if nobody's answering the radio. And John was talking, and you know, he would get like a, he would like stare off, and I'd be over there hitting him, like, talk to him, and he kept saying something. He was, you know, being John. He's like, I think he said something like that. It's funny, when Darryl got shot, he sold his house, and I sold my house today too. I'm like, don't worry about that. It'll be all right. Sean, I guess I thought that they had put a tourniquet on him. They did, but John was saying it's not tight enough, so I got down there and grabbed it. There was Tony James and Sean Hoover, and I was on the radio. I was telling him to call Nikki, because he was like calling me. He was on his phone. He was trying to get over Nikki by laying there while they were working on his leg, and he said it's not tight enough, so I took it from Sean, and I was pulling him. I was like, man, this is an old-ass tourniquet. This ain't anything you should have. Well, it ended up being Sean's bed. It was all like slippery. So the third, I just went in the third division guy showed up. He stuck the gate. And I was, once I saw him, I was trying to get his attention. I screaming at him, ran the gate. And it was pretty cool. So he ran that gate and was like, all right, I'm going to get him out of here. I thought we were going to go to the police car, but the guy that showed up, he had no money. He had some equipment that we needed. Tony had his tourniquet. I think we did a quick clock patch, and Mom's Costco's car was right there. So I said, let's go in the back seat. I put him in the trunk. I put him on top of the trunk. I got in the driver's seat of Mom's car. And Sean and Miles or somebody picked John up in the trunk. And I drove down to a broken gate. Sean was running behind the car, holding John in the car. And Sean picked him up, walking through the gate, and I backed out my truck and followed the longest route to the hospital I've been on. Mm-hmm.
Can we go through the stack? So I'm just going to draw this out, so I'm going to make sure I'm just going to draw the. We'll call this. So,
there's a book here and a book here.
Right. This is apartment 3, 2. And there's another there, too. So you're standing, if you're looking at the door, you're standing to the right of the door. Okay. Is John standing on the side of the side? Is there anyone behind John?
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you. And then there's, you're making this look like a lot of room.
It's not room. No, it's probably 20 feet.
It seemed like it wasn't much wider than this room.
It's wider, but it's about 20 feet.
Well, we got my camera set. Makes it a little short. I love it about death, but there was a lot of men.
Right. Was there anyone behind you?
No.
So you were on this side by yourself. So the stack would have been on John's side. Okay.
And Brett was back here because, like, after the second hit, he was like, get that door open, because I remember him being right down here. John, Miles, and Tony. Tony was close, because Tony had a shield.
And
Hoover and Brett and Noel back here, because they were the ones that were contacting this guy.
Okay, but they would have been standing like,
well,
right.
Yeah, but we didn't exactly like, okay guys, get lined up, we're going to hit it. It was after Sean and got that guy, because that guy had some words, I guess. He got upset that, you know, you weren't talking about that or something like that. I could hear him start
talking. The upster. Yeah. So was Campbell behind Hanson? Was he heard about it?
You said Tony had his shield.
So,
but I, like, honestly, I didn't look around and see the line. I just remember when I looked up, when I hit and that door opened, as soon as that door flew open, and it's like John got ready to go in, and it was pow, and I just remember bending on him. It was like a quick shot, and he looked up, saw him, and he just started shooting.
So you watch your river across the threshold, other than like initially maybe swimming your upper, like your arm.
Yeah, the ram.
Because the ram.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the dark. I can see the dark, and I heard like a female say something, but I don't know if it was a. I couldn't tell you what she said.
But you heard a female say
that. I heard a female say that before we even hit the door.
Do you remember what she said to her conversation?
No, it's just like. I just heard a female voice because I kept my tongue drawn and I hear somebody. I was wondering if she was coming up to like the peephole looking or not.
So, apparently, you know, after it happens, clearly you're not going to take, account of everybody's position that. You know, at some point that he described it, your feet feel like they're in mud and trying to get away.
With the staircase right here.
Right, the staircase. So you had to.
So when I turned around, like to get the hell out of there, I ran straight into. I think there's like a DirecTV thing right here. I remember running into it. And there was like a little bitty moment with no shots. It was like, here's the time to go. And then it all started up again. And, I mean, I'm 2 years from my last one. I had rounds going off over my head, and you just think that you're, you know, I had no idea, just like the last one I did, when I'm thinking somebody's gonna be out of trouble, just start going at you. When I was turned around, laying on the ground, trying to get away, I had no idea what was inside of the apartment, so I'm thinking, oh shit, I didn't even turn around to look at the guys, because I know what kind of position we were in.
Right.
Being in there, somebody in a dark-ass apartment just landed out in a lit doorway, and that's all I thought about. And I kept hearing bullets, I was like, I don't know what was coming out. It just felt like they were coming right at us, but it was probably the echo on the door. It was loud.
So, you know, you fall over some stuff that's under the stairway, and you get out.
Yep.
And then you get out to the parking lot. Do you all take cover behind that white toilet support?
Well, that's, we helped John. So we got out there, and it was on the radio, and Mike had gone out, and Mike had fallen in between two cars.
Who evacuated John from there?
He did.
He did.
He got up, he went down, then he got back up.
Okay.
And he was like, how? And Mike took off from there and he fell between two cars. John didn't see his dog.
From the moment John got up and got out of that, you know, that bad area there, were there any more shots?
No, no. From John being right there?
No, so John shot, John returns
fire. No, we all left.
Okay, there's no more shots from that point. From the time John is evacuated, when he does it himself,
yeah.
He gets out.
We all are out of
there. Okay, there were no more shots.
It seemed like all of it had, like I'm under here, you look back and you can see like everybody's like hugging this wall. They're like getting close to this corner right here. And I see John take a feet, he gets down. I know I saw him take the first one when he was standing up when he got shot. Because he got shot, and that's when he hunched over and he just, down. And he's like, man, I can't sit right because he was right in front of the door.
Right.
So he started scooping his butt toward this wall.
Right.
And then he got back up. But while he was doing that, there was shot. I couldn't tell who was shooting, but there was shots going off. And when he stood up, I was looking at him, I was on his leg, and everybody started running.
Was the shield ever used? So you describe a break in the shooting. So John shots, like you just say, and then you clearly see him return fire with shot. You know, obviously he's a shot, he's trying to get out. I mean, I would definitely consider that a fatal flaw.
Yeah.
And there's multiple shots, and then there's a break.
Yeah.
And then you hear more shots, and you think that
I think we're being shot at.
And so you see now at that point, you know it wasn't shooting from him.
No, I don't know. Everybody had their guns. Everybody had their guns out. He had a shield, right? I'm focused on John. I did see Mom shoot, but I was focused on John because, like I said, I was having some major replays in my mind with some shit that I didn't see again. And he was shot. I wanted to go over and grab him, but then he just got up. And when he got up, and started, it was over. Like, we all like ran out. I just know that we were going to a car and he was running pretty good. I see him and he just like disappears between the two cars. And I go around and can't wait to fall between two cars. So I'm trying to see him. Tripped over.
Well, you remember what the two cars that was?
I remember the Toyota Squid.
Was it directly, like if you're running out of that little U?
Was it directly in the front of it?
Okay.
Because I just remember my Toyota Sequoia, or whatever color it was, Toyota Sequoia.
Is that,
believe.
Was it double parked?
Straight up, got in my truck. wagon pulled up. It's the same church. Yeah, man. I waited. There's all kinds of car parks. I was waiting for him to finally pull out, and then there was a third mission officer who was going to be the lead. He led, and I just followed him.
When you were running back to your truck, did you happen to notice anyone on the scene?
No.
Didn't see anybody?
Didn't have anybody? I ran with my body underneath cars. I was hunched all the way down.
On the sidewalk?
Yeah, I ran by one of us that was posted up over a car, but I couldn't tell you who it was.
Okay.
Because I just remember I was running up saying, shoot. Hauling ass to get to my truck.
At that point, no. Did you only know that Mattingly and Cosgrove fired weapons?
No, I had no idea who was firing.
Well, I mean, but you said you saw John fire, you saw Miles.
Yeah, I saw Miles.
As far as you knew at that point, you didn't know anybody else.
Okay.
So you get down to the hospital. He's down there with you. So it's you, Tony, obviously Mattingly. That's it.
The health and safety officer, mm-hmm. Aaron Bill was there. Kim, man, for her to call me about halfway down. She was real upset. Tony and I went over 9 with him. He was good spirits. He was pumping blood bad. We sat one night, Kim came in, and I said, we were taking a surgery when they did that. Let loose a little bit. Talk to a couple of detectives.
To kind of go back, make sure we got covered. The only people that were on the scene when you guys were serving the warrant, attempted to serve the warrant, was you, Sergeant Magley, Miles Cosgrove, Tony James, Lieutenant Hooper, Brett Hankinson, and Mike Campbell. No one else. And is it your understanding that, based off the briefing, is that there was a female, potentially a small child in that apartment? It was, I think I've heard people say that they considered it a soft target location.
Yeah, we were told that it is a little bit more. And we were there for, you got the suspect possibly stored some double the money at that place because it's had some packages put there and to look for some labels. And obviously, John and I were put there because we're on the parcel units.
Right. So
we look for that type of evidence. And that's what it's supposed to be.
You said Campbell was the guy, so how long was he there?
I really don't know. Hours.
And did he ever relay any kind of information that he saw anything, any kind of movement, anybody coming and going?
If he did, I don't know. I didn't leave my radio. I didn't turn my radio on until we got to the truck and ran around.
Were you surprised? Well, was everyone surprised when they went to come up to make entry that there was a white SUV parked? Where was that?
Yes.
Was there any talk about, did it break down as far as like communication or whatever? Because I've also been told that, I guess, that you wanted to clear that SUV before.
Did.
Okay.
John did. I mean, that's just what we do.
Right.
Before we went up.
Right.
John cleared it. And we asked what, see if anybody was in it. Mm-hmm. Maybe see if somebody didn't take time to run the tag or anything, because we weren't really briefed on a male being there, because the suspect was definitely on scene in it because they knew he was there.
Right.
There's just no reason to believe it'd be anything different.
Is there anything that we haven't asked you that you think is important to know?
Is there anything you want to say for the record before we end? And you tell me the truth to the best of your knowledge.
Yes.
We'll conclude the statement. Time is 13:39.
Okay, are there any questions? Nothing. Yes, sir.
So when you talk to the main suspect, is that?
No, Now, he thought, he, they heard that the main suspect was on Elliot. Elliot, that was another official. As far as his brief report, well, he just told us that female, a woman and a child.
There was no sign of a child. Anything else? Just about what was the significance of the letter that had come, we started hearing some voices out talking to the actual child. So when you say it, it was all right, it seemed like it. Even they had time to look at it, it was like, it was a television story.
It's a TV in the room, but what now, it's just the only one there.
Any questions about this?
Okay, our next interview going over, listen to, is Detective Tony James. I conduct an interview in our location in Frankfurt on September the 11th.
This is Detective Jeff Fogg with the Attorney General's Office. It is September 11th, 2020 at 2:54 p.m. We're speaking with Tony James, also President of Moon, and his attorney, Evan Spalding, and Assistant Attorney General, Mark Brewer. Detective James, can you say, spell your first name, please?
Sure. Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. My name is James, J-A-N-M-E-S.
And Detective James, how long have you been on Little Metro Police Department?
Approximately 20 years. In October, will be 20.
And what, as of March this year, what was your assignment?
I was in the criminal intervention or the narcotics team.
How long have you been in that assignment?
I went back to that. I guess I've been there maybe around 2 years. I've been back there. I've been there before.
Who was your supervisor?
Sergeant Hamels.
Okay, on the night in question, March 13th, you all were assigned to execute a search warrant at 2003 Springfield Drive. I'm still correct?
Yes, sir.
Who all was on that? Some of this may be redundant, but who all was assigned on that particular duty that night?
From what I understood, from who I saw that was going there was myself, Sergeant Manningham, Lieutenant Hooper, Miles, Detective Cosgrove, Detective Hanson, and Detective Mike Campbell, I believe.
Okay. What was your role when on the execution of that warrant at the apartment? What was your role going to be?
I was just in the stack with everybody.
We'll get to the stack in a minute. Did you carry the field?
Yes, I did.
Bunker, as you call
yes.
it, in your,
yes.
in your other interview?
Yes.
Okay, what happened? What was the stack? How was the stack formed? I'm familiar with police, but what break it down for us?
Sergeant Handley was the VO officer, and the one that was in first. I was to his left by the door. Then I think behind him was, I think Lieutenant Hooper was right behind him. And then I believe behind him was Detective Cosgrove, and I think Detective Hankinson, and then Detective Campbell.
Who had the ring?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot Detective Nobles.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I said, we read the transcript of the interview.
Yes,
you.
I forgot.
And we're going to try to get a little detail on specifics, because that was a dramatic night. So I kind of got some of the names.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Detective Nobles, he had the ring.
Yes, he did.
So, what time did you all arrive? No, approximately.
I honestly honestly, I'm thinking like right around 12:30 or so, maybe somewhere.
And when you get there, and you all stand back together before, was the lighting in the hallway, I mean, in the foyer area, was the lights on?
Yeah.
Okay, was everybody wearing a, carrying a flashlight, operational flashlight? On that shield, we'll go over the shield later, but do those lights work on the shield too?
So not all the time, no.
Okay, so Sergeant Manners first. I assume you take your nobles off to the sacks. He's got, the other sacks he's got.
Correct.
Okay, so hit the door. How many times will it take before we go in?
I want to say, well, before the door was hit, I mean, we were announcing police, search warrant, police. I know I said it several times, and I heard other people doing the same as well. I want to say maybe 2 to 3 hits. I can't 100% tell you.
Okay, in your PI interview, you had said something to the effect that someone upstairs, civilian, and commented about you all.
That's when we were walking up and we got in, and where I was positioned, can I reference that?
Is that better?
Yeah, can I reference that? Do you care?
No.
Please, that's okay. It's not a speak up, it's not a game.
This larger picture here, when we came in, I was all the way back over by this door over here.
Okay.
As far back as I could get back in there. And then when the stock, it was like right here coming out. Mm-hmm. That's when, before when we were announcing, you know, police, and I believe John had knocked, or was getting ready to knock, or maybe he already knocked a couple of times. I think he already knocked. When somebody from upstairs, and I never saw the guy because I was all over there, all I could do was hear him, said, "Hey, what are y'all doing? Quit messing with that girl, leave that girl alone," something to that effect. And then the officer back here addressed the guy.
I mean, do you know which officers did? Like, I mean, you're out the door, but can you tell who's speaking with
it? I know Detective Hankinson said something to the guy up there.
Okay.
And I think somebody else said something to police or whatever. And we all had our vests on with police. The vests all had police all over and everything. I mean, all you had to do was look and see. It's obviously a reason.
So you guys are here. There's noble here?
No. Who's not on? Let me show you on this one. I'm sorry. Okay. Noble's is on this side.
You guys are here.
I'm on that side, and I'm actually kind of covered down on these doors here. Because I don't know if they're friend or foe. I don't know if they're connected to this. I don't know. I have no idea. So I'm watching this. And one reason I'm watching this, too, is, you know, when you're knocking at an announcer, a lot of times, especially in apartments, you'll have other people open the doors because they just hear knocking. And so a lot of times, in the past, I have been able to go, somebody will come up like, "Hey, police, we're good. Please go back inside and address them over." And so that was one of the things, because I was like, I was kind of cramped back into this, like with my back against this corner, basically. And then, when you next one.
Okay, so right here, I go back to the light.
Yeah.
When you're here, you're over here.
Yes.
Noble's here.
Yes.
Is the
yeah,
lit?
Yes.
As far as it can be.
There was lights there. And there was lights way upstairs.
And was everybody wearing something police insignia?
Oh, yeah. Everybody did. Tactless. That I recall.
Okay. Were you issued a light?
Yes.
Did you hear it on that?
It did not activate. I hit it in the car, but it did not. I did not know that it did not activate. No. But it was rigged up, ready to go.
The gun was gone.
I did. I did.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, I did.
So, no visits 2 or 3 times.
Yes.
Your office?
Yes.
Then, now this part is going to be chaotic for you to try to explain, but please do the best you can.
The
door opens, then how?
Door opens, Detective Manley, Sergeant Manley, is just right at the door, like he might have had like a foot at the threshold.
Right, before we stop it, Was there a light on here in this hallway? Was the lights off?
I don't remember, because honestly, from my vantage point right here, all I can see, like if you take that door, all I can see was like that field of view, like just a little bit of field of view. And I don't know if there's, I couldn't really, it was so dark that I couldn't see anything other than that, right?
Door comes open badly to see, see still yellow police?
Yeah, police are torn, and I've got a very loud, grasping voice, and when I'm yelling loud, you're gonna hear it. And I, oftentimes, not just do I yell at that door, I'll yell to this door to let everybody know it's a police, it's a search warrant, there's a warrant. So I'm yelling back here, you know, yelling at that door, yelling back here, and he steps in, and as soon as he steps in, the round, I hear gunfire.
Okay. Before the gunfire, did you hear any voices from inside the apartment?
So, no.
Okay.
I didn't really. I remember hearing, I don't know if it was John, Sergeant Manley, or if it was, Knowles said he heard something about the door or somebody about the door. I thought he said I heard a helmet or something like that, maybe. But I can't 100%.
Okay. So, Knowles, you hear a shot?
Yes. And then John returns fire.
Okay. So, this is what the devil's going to be doing.
Okay.
Is John in the. Did he step into the apartment? Did he get shot? Is he halfway in?
No, he literally is, to my recollection, he might have a foot right there.
Okay. So once the shot goes off, where does Nolan go? Best you remember?
When I saw him at the end, he was all the way back underneath here in a crouched position underneath the steps.
Okay. So Nolan backs up, it falls a little bit?
Yes.
Does Manley step back? Does he go down?
No, he returns fire, goes back, and I don't know if that was the time he's like, I'm hit, and then goes.
Stop right there. We're trying to get the breakdown of what everybody does. I know it's hard, believe
me. Right.
So, who's right behind Manley and stuff?
I believe it was Lieutenant Hoover.
Where did Lieutenant Hoover go? Lieutenant.
I don't know. I know when Sergeant Manley made his way back, and as he was going, I know that I saw Lieutenant Hoover right here beside him.
Okay. So who did the hat do?
I think it was me, because he took the cost of his.
What does he do?
Apparently he steps up, but I don't really see him do that, because what I see is John's going back. John's now on the ground.
So you're watching him, or you're watching the front door still?
I completely like tunnel vision on the John, because I knew, honest to God, I thought he was hit where the lights. I thought he was hit. Because when that first round came, it was intensively loud. It was loud to the point that I thought it was some kind of assault on him, truthfully. And it just echoed.
You saw Manley return fire?
Yes.
Where was he? When you returned fire, what was he doing?
He was right here at this door.
Yeah.
No, he was just standing there.
Returning fire. And where was, at that point, you were still in the corner?
I'm still in the corner.
Okay. So, we don't know what Cosmo did, and it's you. You didn't have him.
No, I'm still in this corner.
Okay. Let's back up. So you get to step over there. Mm-hmm. This guy here talks.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your tape behind us now?
He's like back here, in the stack back in here. He's at the end back in here, like I heard before Detective Cannon.
Okay, so you're focusing on John.
Sergeant Manley goes, he goes down.
Now, when he goes down, where is he? You know the doorway or where?
Well, yeah, he's kind of in between, but he's scooting himself back, trying to get back. And it's back, you know, a little bit further back from the doorway. And that's when he's still returning fire. And I see him returning fire, just scooting back. And I bent down, and I wanted to get the shield in between him and that, where those rounds were coming out, my perception of where the danger is. So as I try to go down before he's, you know, finished returning fire, I go to go down and I'm like, he's going to shoot me in the head returning fire if I get down there, or they're going to shoot me. So I couldn't really get to him, so I don't know if I holstered, but I think I did, and I was trying to grab him and yank him to me.
You're still on here, right?
I'm all in the corner the entire time. This entire time, I'm over in this corner.
Well, this is going on. You decide whether to pick the health man
up. Right.
Is anybody, any other officer shooting returning fire this time? At
this time, I could not tell you. All I can tell you is I saw Sergeant Mattingly, and my whole focus was on him. I'm hearing, when I'm in the auditory, I'm hearing gunshots, but I couldn't tell you who was returning fire at that time. All I could tell you was John was there, and I saw the blood going out of his.
Okay. So, at some point, somebody comes in and shoots into the
one of the officers.
Right. Shoots into the apartment. And who do you think it was?
Well, later on, I figured out that it was Detective Cosgrove, but I couldn't tell you 100%. I saw him move it up, but I couldn't tell you 100%.
And all the things you kid, you saw the sounds.
Yes, and I didn't.
Okay, that night, I understand you were stressed and everything. What in your mind thought was happening at that point?
Well, I saw Hickinson kind of move up when that happened. I think.
Are you still in the corner with
that? Oh, yeah. I think everybody was kind of, you know, the door kind of opened, everybody's in motion to go, and boom, it happens. And they're, you know, repositioning now that the fire's coming in. And I don't know if he came up and shot there or what. Like I said, I saw just a brief of the stack. He goes down, I start working on
it. Can you say specifically, did you see Detective Cosgrove or Detective? You found out things later, but
right. No.
Did you see that it was Cosgrove or Hankinson actually shoot?
Not really.
In the door.
In the door. Not really. I heard balls.
Okay, so let's continue on with it then. So you got him pulled badly out to the corner, that's good.
Well, I never got a hold of
him. Okay.
I never got a hold of him, so all this was going on, I'm trying to get him. He scoots himself over away from me. I back up because the entire time with this, I don't know what this looks like inside. So I'm thinking any minute the rounds are going to come through this drywall and kill him and hit him. So the entire time I'm just over back here. And then when he scoots over, it was like a group thing. They like grabbed him. He goes out and everybody starts moving.
Who's everybody? Everybody? Hankinson and you?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Did he get back up himself and walk through?
Well, yeah. I think he had somebody to help him. I think he got up and they were making their way. And honestly, I can't tell you exactly who all was with him. But there was nobody. It was the whole group moving.
So, did you put a tourniquet?
Yes, sir.
Was that after the move or
before? It was after we moved. All right. We got out and I made my way back to him.
Okay, so after the move, starting battling kind of away from the area, what's going on in the apartment still?
Well, it's all like one fluid motion. Like, they move, you're doing fire, what's going on, John's moving. As they move John back, I'm in the corner and the picture's kind of deceiving. I'm still tucked back in the back, and all I can see is that. And I've moved further back. I'm probably more like right in this area, maybe.
Okay, so you have two apartments.
Yeah, kind of. And I can't see. I see a little bit more, maybe.
You hear anything in the apartment? Anybody talking? Anybody screaming?
No.
Anybody doing anything?
I'm not hearing anything. As they make their way, I was getting ready to go, and I'm like, man, I've got to wait to cover this threat. Because I know bullets are coming out here. I don't know how many.
Well, the shot's still going. So I still be able to hear two.
I'm not hearing it just yet. I think I can't really recall that part of it. Other than when they're making their move and they get to the close to the end of the sidewalk, that's when I'm like, I've got to go. I can't stay here. I don't know what's in here, and I've got to go. I've got to get out there because I knew I had a target and I had to get to John. Because he said, I'm hitting my football, I'm pretty sure. You know, he's like, I think I'm hitting my football. And I knew I had to get to him. So that was what I was doing.
spend my time, I pass my time, because time's fleeting, those types of situations. But anytime, when you heard, after you had the first shot from the Southern Department, manually returned to search fire, and there was other officers shooting, whoever they were.
Right.
Was there a pause? Was it kind of continuous? Was there like a pause, then it started back up? Or can you speak to that?
From what I can recall, it was like three consecutive, like when it started, it just all kept going, like all the time together, is what I remember. But it was like three, like I could see, like in my hearing, I could hear like three times from returning, you know, like pop.
So, was Cosgrove part of the bunch that moved Sergeant Manley back?
I think he was. I think he was in with that group.
So Lieutenant Hoover?
I know Lieutenant Hoover. I saw Lieutenant Hoover have all the young Sergeant Manley.
Was Noble part of the, was he still out with Mr. Terrible?
You know, I can't really tell where he was. I think he was moving with everybody, but I can't.
So after Sergeant Manley's moved back, you're kind of the only one there.
Well, not necessarily. Like we're here, I probably moved out just a little bit because I wanted to see where they were going with Sergeant Mack.
So, you moved, you at some point you decided you needed to get the tourniquet to Sergeant Mack.
Yes, sir.
Is somebody there still to watch the front door? Did you yell to somebody, hey, no, watch the front door?
No, there was nobody. When I exited out, there was nobody there.
When you exited out, you brought them
in
the curb there, did you start hearing still shots?
I thought I heard shots when I was running by the door. When I was running by the door is what I thought. I thought I heard shots by the door. When John was making, you know, they were all the way to the end of the sidewalk. But they were.
But did it cause you to react like?
Yeah. Oh, I thought I was hit. And I think what happened is during the whole melee of all that, I think I ran into that door.
Okay, well, okay, let's go with this.
Because I had pain in my eye.
So you're going to get, you're leaving here to get melee leave currently.
Yes.
And where do you think you're at when you turn kind of down to?
Well, honestly, I was by the door. And I was like, I can't stay here, and I said a prayer to our
friend. Yeah. You didn't know that you heard the hit shot walking us from the end?
Yeah, I had a long
wheel. You got here, or were you still down here?
No, I was by that doorway somewhere in there, I'm thinking, somewhere in motion. I can't tell you 100%.
So after you get to Magdalene and you help put
the track on,
when does everything quiet down completely at the apartment?
I will.
I know you're not leaving. How far away from him were you from the apartment when you got the turn?
Oh, probably 75 feet.
Good distance then.
Yeah, like if you come out here to the parking lot, there's a sidewalk, then a normal apartment, like a complex, and there's cars parked. And then there's a walkway, and there was a car that was double parked out there. Like a white car of some sort. I thought it was one of us, but it wasn't. But it's a white car. When I came out, I took a wide right because I knew that there was witness here. And I was afraid if I ran right past it, I could get shot in the back of the head. So I ran real far right, came back around, stopped to check myself. Because, like I said, I think I locked into the door during the beginning of it. And I just had a bad sort of pain in my back. And I thought, I might have got hit through this drywall or whatever. And I'm just now feeling. But I checked myself, I was okay, and then I made my way to Sergeant Randall. And they were all behind that white man, right behind the tire.
When was the last time you saw, before you left to go assist Sergeant Randall, when was the last time you saw him take the hand?
He was, the last time I had a visual on him, he was covering the front of the building. Maybe from another car or from that white car. All I remember,
What were you doing? Were you still at the ceremony?
No. I was behind, like if this is the car, this is the tire. I am working on John about this. And he was laying there.
Take your time.
public safety. And
I think this is on the government of the time. And I think it's hurt that we were trying to get the EMS right in there, and the EMS people didn't come in the right entrance. So when you walk down that thing, there's a fence, and I'm in a giant fence. And I see the EMS come in, and I'm like, you know, how are we going to get him over the fence?
Except when you try to do the fence something.
Yeah, they run over it. An officer runs it, runs over it, and I go and I'm trying to scoot it to get it lower so we can get Sergeant Manley in that EMS right now.
Take a drink, we'll take just a quick break so we can kind of do it.
You did hear a break. And that's when you took the opportunity to cross over the door. The volleys?
No, well, no, when I saw what keyed me to run and get with them was the fact that I saw that they had him pretty much almost in the parking lot. So that's when I took off.
Okay, well, this is trying to go to your PID. And you can see you're telling the whole story nonstop here. So on, so right in here, you're talking about the neglect.
Okay.
And he was in the volleys stop. They went back over it with me at the very end.
Okay.
And again, he was.
I guess it was when it.
Let's find that at the very end.
And even after you went to the
Sorry, ma'am, you went with him to the hospital?
Yes.
You didn't go back to him?
No. I stayed with him. Kept doing stuff to him, even in the back of the EMS wagon, because the EMS guy was just kind of in shock. And so I had to take my vest off, and I started, he was still bleeding, even with the tourniquet. And I got the guy to give me a bunch of balls, and I started wrapping his leg in gauze.
Did anybody have a body camera on that night? Did you know of? There was a
I don't know.
You thought yours was on?
I don't believe so, but I can't tell you for sure. For sure.
That was two things there that I think you were back on. You said you don't believe that anybody else had one on.
I don't believe that you believe that yours was on. I did, yeah.
Okay. In your recollection now, do you think there were two volleys? There was a break in the volleys?
No, I mean, it was.
Would you have had better, you think you would have remembered better on March 13th?
That night, yes, ma'am.
Because you did tell them there was two volleys.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. That's, I'll be real honest with you, I've had a lot of
stress
dreams and a lot of things going on. I'm not in any way trying to be dishonest or not be forthcoming.
And here's this last one I want to show you. So they were able to have two bodies.
Okay.
Said.
What do you mean, so bad and everything?
Yeah, I can't wait to record.
Detective Nelson.
Oh,
under the steps.
Do you remember what Campbell was?
He was at the end of the stop the last time I saw him. And honestly, I, as they were all kind of going out, you know, I lost
him. At some point, I read somewhere, Manley says that he backs over somebody, falls over somebody.
I think that was out of the park. Detective Campbell. I think Campbell had fell going running back. And I think that's where Sergeant Manley hit and ran over or something.
Mr. Spalding?
Yes.
Anything else that might be, we kind of see where we're going with these questions, anything else maybe that might be relevant to what we're talking about? As far as timing, shots, and individual actions by the investigator, for the detective said that?
Not that I can think.
All right.
This seems like you would detect the name, it's now 1533.
Any questions about that? Yes, ma'am.
Can you kind of read back to me what he said about his body count?
Oh, we don't have a transcript of this before. He did say he thought he activated it. But then he said he didn't come on.
Did he look at
it?
Okay, so he did have it on?
Yeah, he had it on his person, but he did not have it activated. He says he thought he activated it. And one note about the shield, there for a second, you can hear us kind of, this is how it works. Each, that particular shield that we saw a picture of earlier, that instead of a vertical shield goes up and down like that, it had like it was a horizontal. It laid this way. The straps were kind of put your arm in first to this long, horizontal. This
I'm just confirming what I think you said. It was on his side, it was a man in the purse, came over, hit the next guy. He was the third one to have the shield, and the powers were on the boot.
I think he was saying Campbell. Back here. He's here. Adley's here. He's here.
He's better.
And I think, does he mention?
I'm going to mention the girl.
He said the Uber thing.
He said Uber.
Because
he was tucked over in the corner, and then behind that, it was Uber, and then Higgins and Campbell.
Now, Paul, we don't have a transcript. I thought that we don't have that thing on this particular
movie. And then they kind of went
and then the last one, my last question, was he the last one to be from that?
Yeah, according to his statement, Sergeant Manley kind of staggers, just pulls his clocks where he does from here. They ban him by the car, the white SUV we saw earlier. He decides, oh, they need my tourniquet, and at some point he just takes off. Nobles was under the stairwells at some point, but I think Nobles had already gone by then.
Nobles had hit the stairs.
They got hit the stairwell.
Yeah.
And he's over. It's over here. Nobles was over here.
By the time Detective James leaves, he's already gone. Because he's over here helping attend to Sergeant Madden.
Yeah, I say at some point it says Uber's back with Hanks. So the exact positioning of these officers, these detectives, every interview we've had heard today, has got a different perspective.
Yeah.
Which is not unusual. Something like that happens, so like that, look at the same thing, different.
call Charmaine to the message detective.
Well, as a matter of practice, this is something that's in general terms. If no doctor or doctor, if you've got a search warrant to search premises, if there's officers, you have a right to answer that. There's maybe some ideal ways or better ways of doing things, I don't know what you're doing. But at some point, they decided to be part. There may have been better, different ways to do that, I'm not going to do that. But the legal search warrant signed by judge, they have a right to search premises.
Let's pull off the record now. It's 5 p.m. exactly.